Hi, it's Megan Segura.
And it's Rachel Roberts.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Woohoo! Yeah. I feel the need to apologize yet again because we were out last week again.
Right. Even though we apologized last time.
I know, but there can never... One thing I've learned from watching Bravo, you can never apologize too much.
That's true.
So, yeah, this is our peace offering. We're back.
We're excited.
Yes.
We have a lot to talk about today.
Yes.
First, Nicole is going to hit us with the news, and then we are going deep into Real Housewives of Orange County and Real Housewives of Dallas, because those were some really good episodes.
Yes.
And then we have interviews with Gina Kirschenhider, the newest OC wife.
Yes.
Deandra Simmons. You talked to her.
Yes, and I talked to Stephanie Holman on the phone.
Right. And then we have a little thing called Word on the Street with Eric J. Mack and, of course, Rosenthorne.
Woohoo!
Let's go.
Okay, Nicole, hit us with those headlines.
Sorry.
Hit us with the... Do you don't like the alliteration? You don't,
no.
You don't like anything I'm doing
it's
today?
Okay. Just keep
She's
it.
Been really mean to me today, oh, you guys, in
you'll
general.
Be okay.
We went to a food expo earlier, and she was food drunk.
I was so food turned. There was so much food, I couldn't stop, and then I couldn't see. And here... I am.
Yet we're
all right,
here.
News. Okay, Bethany Frankel is launching Skinny Girl Jeans officially.
Yes,
okay,
they're
yeah.
out, right?
I was really confused because I was like, I've seen the launch of this on a little show called The Real Housewives of New York.
Oh, right. But I think maybe that was like...
An announcement?
Like the launch of
the
idea.
Brand.
Yeah.
Oh,
she did like a huge event at Macy's in Herald Square last week. So
what?
That was like, boom, a launch.
What a miracle.
I know she's doing a ton of press around that. Did she say anything about Dennis?
Yeah, she actually did talk about Dennis. And here's what she said. He was the most excited when I was working and successful, and he was a cheerleader. So he would have been counting the numbers and looking on the website and asking how many pairs of jeans and jean jackets we sold. He's definitely with me here tonight.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
I mean,
it is sad.
Yeah.
If it's like your person that's always there for like big points in your life, I feel like the next time you have like a big thing in your life, it's so felt.
Yeah. And also, I always think about this in terms of celebrities, how even when these tragic life events happen, you have to keep going because things like store launches have been planned probably years in advance.
Yeah.
And it's like you can't,
it's tough.
You can't stop working.
Did we all, as we should have, watched the live action version of Grease on Fox? I promise there's a tie-in. Vanessa Hudgens' dad died like that morning, and she went on with the show.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Whoa. The show must go on.
And she crushed it, I will say. I think she was like the best one.
That's terrible.
She played Rizzo. I know. It was horrible, but it just reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything? Super light.
Okay, a little pick-me-up.
All right, yeah.
Mercedes. From Shaw's.
Ooh.
She's officially taking Tom Bates' last name, her hubby.
Whoa.
I didn't think she would do that.
Me neither.
Oh.
She really loves him.
I know she
does.
Like,
for real love.
MJ Fate.
Do we know if he got the tattoo?
I don't know.
That's all I want to know.
Right, of like the ring or
yeah,
the emoji.
Yeah, the emoji. Please tell me he's got a little like winky heart emoji on his.
Eggplant.
Wait,
anger.
Do you want to know
eggplant.
What she shared with the Daily Dish? This is such a cute quote.
I do want to know.
The moment that I told him and I saw the expression on his face, not only in approval, but he was kind of thrown aback that I wasn't going to keep my name, MJ shared. Like I'm doing it for him and our future kids.
Oh,
that's so
future
sweet.
Kids.
That's
oh,
sweet.
My heart. Remember when like they had that big fight about kids and like,
yeah.
He's like, we can't.
In the bathroom?
Yeah.
Do you know how much I cried during that episode?
Oh my God.
That
I know.
Was intense. Like you could tell that was like a deep.
That was really
fight.
Happening.
Yeah. Ooh, bringing me chills.
Oh, I love Tommy so much.
Yeah, I almost stan for him.
Yeah, except when he was kind of, he called her a Dorito, but anyway.
Right.
He was loving.
It was a
loving
cute
little
like
potato
tap.
Chip.
My
that's
little,
cute. All right, that's all
Dorito.
That's all the news I have.
Do you think that, what is Dorit's husband's name?
PK.
PK calls
PK.
Her my little Dorito. Oh, come here, my little Dorito.
I don't think so.
I hope
he
so.
He doesn't look like the type to eat Doritos.
Why?
He's like, what's a Dorito?
Why are you looking looking at me.
What does that mean?
I just don't take him as like a chip eating guy.
I'm just saying, Doritos, I don't.
Okay, it's not on brand. He's too for
posh.
The PK.
Yeah, too posh. That's what it is.
Not on brand. Not on brand. Brand.
So that's all the news?
All the news I have.
Jeans and Doritos.
Hey there, I'm Jordan.
And I'm Emily.
And we're the hosts of Sci-Fi Wire's Fandom Files.
We interview devoted fans and creators about their favorite comic books, movies, TV shows, and how they all celebrate them.
So join us each week for new episodes of the Fandom Files wherever you get your podcasts.
So since we were out last week, we need to make up for it and talk about Real Housewives of Orange County.
I was so mad we didn't talk about it last week. I was dying.
Right, because last week was the big brawl between...
He's a little bitch!
Kelly Dodd and Emily Simpson's husband, Shane. Mm-hmm. Wow. But then this week was also sort of the rest of that.
I almost think I preferred this week to last week.
Why?
Because you got to see all the little nuances after and, like, right. the fallout. And then also, like... I was even more shocked by things people were saying about Vicky.
Oh, and the Steve accusations that he's only with her for the money.
Yeah. And then Tamara's saying she doesn't really love him.
This is the second time she said that, by the way. I can tell you I interviewed Vicky today and she said I was just texting with Tamara and said, "Hey, I watched the episode this week. Why did you say that thing?" And I think she was talking about that.
I'm so glad she said that to you.
but yeah, I just want to talk about the Shane and Kelly fight because it was so good.
She comes over kind of to get into it with Steve because she's been literally talking about it all night.
Right.
How she's uncomfortable around Steve and she's mad around Steve. Should I go talk to Steve?
And Steve is a housewife ninja because he totally maneuvered out of that headlock and was like, bye.
Right. And then...
I want to be like, poor little Shane.
But then again, Shane probably just should have zipped it,
right.
said nothing. And right. instead, he was kind of like, well, you know, if you're going to come over here and accuse someone, just tell them what you have.
Yeah.
Like,
but I did love when he was like, oh, this is how you behave normally? It was such an amazing insult. I was like, you've got the chops. Shane,
all right,
you've got the chops.
I want to know what insult you think is worst.
Okay, I'm excited.
Like, we can rank them.
I love this game.
Pussy.
Okay.
Little bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Twerp.
Okay.
Dork.
Okay. I'm going to say pussy last, because I don't care.
Whoa, Nicole has very different feelings.
That's the worst.
You
Whoa,
think?
Whoa, I have
Y'all
opposite.
Y'all think dork is
Yes, dork
more of an
to
insult?
Me would be insult? Mortifying.
Is like nothing, but dork is such a specific weird
Are y'all
thing to call
serious
someone
right now.
When's the last time you called someone a dork?
When I was 5.
Exactly. Right. That's what I'm saying. It's so weird and juvenile.
But when's the last time you called someone a pussy?
Yesterday. No.
Well,
just kidding.
I don't really like that word.
Right. I see. We're of a I don't want to say like elevated, but
right.
like
no.
Pussy doesn't bother us.
No.
That's not my word.
I would say twerp last.
Twerp last, yeah, probably. Then,
but I see. Yeah, little bitch. I
little bitch is number one for me.
That could set me
really,
off.
Yeah, that would.
But that's
and
almost,
that's what set Emily off.
Yeah, and you asked me if I would react the same way.
Yes, because I was like, Megan, you're married. What do you think about all of this?
And I would have reacted the exact same way. Like, I really feel like Emily hulked out in that moment.
I know.
And it was just like, what did you say? And I would do the exact same thing.
Because Gina's like, look at me, look at me, look at me. And she like, won't. She just keeps being like, I'm going to kill you.
But weird that Kelly's reaction was, hit me, hit me.
It was a very, like, they were, like, boys in high school.
I
like,
just,
yeah, buddy, hit
I
me.
I have never in my life seen
asked someone
to hit me. Hit me. Like, no, don't hit me, please.
She's calling her bluff.
Yeah. But who do you think was more in the wrong, Shane or Kelly? Or Emily?
Not Emily. I think she was just reactive.
Yeah.
And I think that Kelly's choice of words was worse than Shane. Like, Shane was poking the bear, but Kelly just got, like, mean and nasty, and, like she's so good at saying, like, the worst thing to someone that you could say to someone. Like, the thing
right.
that you know was gonna just, like, It was just mean. So right. I think that's why I was like, ooh, this feels yucky.
Okay, well, now I want you to rate sort of where this Shane Kelly drama falls into our long history of men sort of getting involved in the drama.
Mm.
Okay, so.
I like this.
Think back to PK in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills with the whole Erica,
that's
no panties.
One for me.
Oh, I know. You. That's,
I hate it.
That really bothered you.
Yeah.
If you ask me a question, let me answer.
Well, there's no need to get upset.
No, I am upset because I'm watching you gang up on my wife. So
I'm not.
Upset.
I'm not.
Erica.
I'm
just
not.
Said you were deliberately cold. You're not deliberately cold. You're inherently cold.
Remember Kim Richards?
He wouldn't like Doritos. Sorry.
Remember Kim Richards in Ken on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Out of way.
Oh, stop. I'm tired of your goddamn mouth. You're a big, stubborn old man. Shut up.
Stop.
Had
please
enough
stop,
of you.
Stop, stop.
Old man.
And he was, I feel like, just defending Lisa.
Yeah.
So I feel like, spark out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He can't help it either.
No, he can't help it either.
And then you had Nene and Peter, Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Greg, this is what you need to do. You need to stay out of women's business. You are causing problems. You are the only husband, boyfriend, fiance that gets involved in women business.
We happen to like Peter a whole lot better than Patricia.
What woman business was I getting involved?
You always involved. What we do as women is between us. You need to roll with these fellas and not try to roll with these women.
I don't
roll
with nobody, baby.
Okay, well, you need to stop trying to roll with the women, okay? You need to stay out of women's business. You stop trying to be a damn bitch.
I don't get this. Like, I'm actually in the house husband's corner on all of this because I don't like it when women say stuff like, this is women's drama. I don't know why you men want to get involved. It's drama. Let's not put male, female labels on it. No, I'm serious. Like, I don't get why they can't have an opinion. Mm. They're their husband. They're their partner in life. They can have an opinion on what goes on in their lives. Like, I don't understand that.
But what about, okay, thinking about Michael in Real Housewives of Potomac at the reunion. Do you feel like maybe he...
But I think he's... Like, again, it's like when they get mean.
Yeah.
It's like when I get like, you're just being mean now. Like, why are you doing this? Like, what's the point of like... At a certain point, we talk people's business and their money. They're like lines, you know?
Yeah.
That's my feelings about all of those things. But what about you?
No, I think that Shane is pretty inoffensive. When we're looking at all this history... He just was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Absolutely. Because Kelly was looking for a fight.
And it never say to someone, well, I think you're drunk. Even if they're stumbling down, it's just, I don't know. It sets me off.
Right. Well, there's a history of that in our network as well.
Is there?
She's turning.
Oh, right.
So just, if someone's drunk, don't tell them. Just let them live their life.
Yeah.
Life lessons by Bravo.
Crystal, who works with us, told me an amazing story about, she was out with a friend, and the friend was, it was her birthday, doing several shots, and was just wasted. And so instead of being like, you're drunk, you need to stop, Crystal just started slowly like integrating shots of Sprite, 7-Up, into the mix. And she said she would take the shot and still make the face. And like,
Because
she's so drunk, she doesn't notice
the
difference.
Right, right. After high school, I went on a trip down in Southern California, and we stayed with my cousins one night, me and like my friends from high school. And my aunt was like, oh, I'm going to give you girls drinks. We're like, oh my God, my aunt's so cool. And we were drinking it and being like, oh my God, I can totally taste it. They were like virgin. They didn't have any alcohol in them.
That's smart.
We were dumb and 18 and being like, oh my God, these are so strong.
That's smart of your aunt though, because it also kept you from like trying to sneak it on your own.
Right. I mean, later on,
oh,
maybe.
Okay.
But at the time, she was not serving underage girls in Orange County.
Right.
Yeah, but whoa, what a fight.
What a fight. The other big thing in this episode was Gina telling the lady she's getting divorced. Thoughts on that?
I was thinking more about her telling her mom.
Yeah.
Like, I just, watching that moment, I was like, imagine having that moment be on TV. You telling your mother that you're getting divorced. Like, it was like one of like the realest moments, I think, on, because you could see like kind of like.
She's trying to keep it together.
Yeah,
and she couldn't.
And she like, there must be like shame and pain and like everything, telling your parents that like this thing that I was, you know, committed to didn't work out, you know?
Yeah. next week is going to get even crazier in terms of the ladies reacting to Gina getting divorced.
Like how? Well, what did you think of the reaction now? And then tell me about next week.
I understand the confusion, which is like, wait, you love your husband. He's your best friend. You have three small children. What's the issue?
We got married really young and like we still are really good friends, but we're not in love. When I was married to my ex, I just didn't love him. I'm like, don't touch me. Yeah. I don't want to be with you. I actually still am even like super attracted to Matt. So like that's weird.
That's the thing that confuses me.
I know, because
you tell me that you're attracted to him and he's your best friend.
I'm so confused.
I just don't want you to regret it later. Grass is not always greener.
Totally get
side.
That.
Right. Oh, you were telling me this the other day.
Yeah.
Because Vicky said something to the effect of like, I wish I would have just tried harder.
And I hear that from so many people. But Vicky says some other things. So I'm just going to leave it at that. Next week is great.
I can't wait. And then I'd written down a joke that I wanted to say because I thought it would be funny. But then Kelly Dodd took it, but she didn't get that she was making this really great joke because she was like, I saw red. And it was a red party. But, ching.
Okay, just insert a laugh track there.
Nicole is dying.
I'm laughing because it's not funny.
It's so funny.
Oh, man. I'm sure someone's laughing in their car right now.
There is like, ah, that Rachel.
I have to pull over. That's so funny.
Her humor.
Enough.
Scams, sex, even murder. Committed for money. I'm Stacey Keach, the voice of CNBC's crime series, American Greed. Subscribe to the American Greed podcast. Shocking cases, all true. Some people will do anything for money.
But there was another, I would say,
I love when she tries to make a transition.
Oh, I want to say like a smashing or something because of the smashing. On Dallas, they go to the rage room or the anger room.
Right.
Fine. Okay, so don't go with me here. Just don't even try.
Real Housewives of Dallas.
So this week on the Real Housewives of Dallas, there was a lot going on. I write questions for the ladies each week for their blogs, and I was like, 10 questions too many? Because there was just so many things to dissect in this episode.
Right.
Because at the top, you have Leanne telling DeAndre that she's a princess and just needs to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we find out that Leanne had told Carrie that DeAndre only has $200 in her bank account.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre's crying because she's so overwhelmed. And then we have this whole smashing party and then DeAndre confronting Leanne. And then you have the Brandy stuff at the end, too. It just was a lot going on.
It was a lot. I do feel like... Clearly reading, if anyone out there reads the Dallas blogs each week, the Leanne and DeAndre are not friends right now. We know this.
Yeah. Things are not going well. Or if you follow either of them on Twitter.
And you can see the beginnings of that fracture in this episode.
Right.
I mean, to me, because I felt like what Leanne was saying to DeAndre in terms of get your life together, if you're going to break away from your mom's company, do it. It was like, oh, she's being a little harsh, but then... especially, like, I don't think Leanne was necessarily trying to come from a good place because she said she can give it me harsh advice, but she can't take it.
I think that she was being harsh. And maybe even though I know Leanne says things like just hands and she has a reputation for kind of going a little far, I don't think that she actually is, like, mean-spirited in that way. So I think she was acting a little bit out of character to get back at DeAndre.
Right.
So I don't think it was this whole like innocent thing. Like she was just giving her tough love because that's who she is. I think she was giving it because she felt like she got it too hard earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see what they say in the blogs this week for sure. But something that I felt this happened in OC, it's happened on other shows, and I just want to talk about it in general, is this idea that Carrie's kind of like, I'm telling everyone everything now. And like, so yeah, I told DeAndre what you said because Leanne, because it worried me that she like doesn't have any money or something, or if she's not doing well. And B, like, I'm going to tell everybody everything. Like, do you think Carrie should have told DeAndre?
Okay, that depends on one big thing to me. Was Carrie's conversation with Leanne on camera or not, because we don't see it, but that doesn't necessarily mean it wasn't on camera, right?
I feel like there's no, unless like, because they did this last year where they had a whole conversation and like four episodes later they did like a flashback to show you what happened. So unless they're going to do that, I can't imagine they wouldn't show the conversation.
Right. So my thing is, if it wasn't on camera, no, Carrie shouldn't have told Deandra.
Because she wouldn't have found out.
She wouldn't have found out. And like, Leanne's just, I don't know, she just has a lot of stuff bubbling up. She needed to get it out. Let her just have her venting.
Because I don't think that, maybe they wouldn't even be where they are now if that hadn't happened.
Right.
Because I feel like that was like a catalyst to like everything.
It also was shocking to me that Deandra took it so hard.
Yes.
Like the whole money thing is a real touchy spot for her. I mean, money is tricky with everyone, I think. But if it, in fact, she has all these bank accounts, she doesn't really just have 200, then why was it such a big deal? But you could tell how embarrassed she was when Carrie told her.
I think that it's like it was revealing this, like, there's wealthy and then there's like high society wealthy. And she's so used to being in high society wealth that, like, yes, she has her trust fund that she could live off of and still live very well. But if she wants to stay in that like really high echelon and keep her company, she's going to have to like go through it a little bit.
Right.
Which I think we're seeing her like freaking out. And she said that she's the main breadwinner in her family.
Right.
Which I think is a lot of pressure that not a lot of people get.
Yes.
In this group.
Right.
So, yeah, I thought all that was really, really intense. And I was surprised that I thought Leanne would be more moved that Deandra was crying so much.
Right.
But she was very kind of like stone-faced about it.
I don't know.
I know. There's something.
Something happening there.
Something happening for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, that whole thing was crazy. And then at the end, I thought it was interesting that I feel like we don't usually see Brandy Redmond get like emotional. I feel like we see her get angry. But I think she got to the point that like constantly hearing that you're like a bad influence on people.
Yeah.
Like it really like broke her this episode.
I agree.
I think that would be hard to hear because you could like brush it off. But at a certain point, it's like,
if you think I'm so terrible, if you think I'm so low class.
Right. And especially when she just said earlier, like, I grew up in a trailer. And they're talking about these, like, really high society problems that, like, she's like, I don't, nothing to do with me, you know? It's just, like, a very interesting episode.
Yes.
And next week there's a baby kangaroo.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
There's extra clips of it on the website.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and we'll be talking to Leanne later this week. So we're obviously going to ask her about all of this and everything. And is she getting married? What is going on? Is it going to be in November, as we heard in this episode? It's very soon.
November of what year?
Right. I think they did just say November, right?
Yeah.
2025, right. So we'll find out.
Enough about what's been happening on the shows. I want to talk about what's been happening
in the tweets.
What?
No. Again.
There's a whole social world out there. And
I don't know if you guys are aware, but social media is a thing.
We have someone to help us navigate it. It's Eric J. Mack.
Hey, guys.
Oh, that was like sexy today.
Yeah, you sound good.
Hey, guys. Oh.
Turn me up. Okay, so going off of Dallas, the first thing I wanted to talk about today was I love Brandy and Stephanie. Just, I think they're so adorable. And they were off this weekend at Dallas Pride dressed as unicorns.
Oh.
And it was so cute. They did a little video.
Everything you're saying makes me so happy.
So they were out in the streets. I saw some pictures on Reddit. They were taking pictures with some fans, which was awesome. They posted a really cute video on Instagram where they were singing. And I think you guys need to incorporate this sign-off they had. It was, friends who glitter together, stay together, or something like that.
I love that.
It was really cute. So it was good to see them out in the streets. I loved that they were out supporting. And I feel like the Dallas cast is really into supporting the LGBTQA+ community. You know, just all the work that Leanne's done. And, you know, I just think they're so cute. And I'm just so happy that they're out in the streets supporting. Yes.
Those are the prettiest unicorns I've ever seen.
Yeah, they look
seen.
Real cute.
Right?
So beautiful. Their makeup is so good.
Yeah.
Maybe some inspiration for your Halloween costumes.
I know.
Just a thought. What else? So we got a little bit of potential shade going on Instagram as well. No. Going back to the OC. It's true. We had, so Kelly Dodd left a comment on Shannon's Instagram. She posted a picture going, I don't know if she was going to visit her daughter, but it was basically a picture of the USC logo. And she had used the hashtag, I think, University of Successful Children. But Kelly Dodd commented saying, University of Spoiled Children.
They actually flash back to that in this week's episode.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm sure she means it more playfully because we do know that they've been getting along now.
As of yet. Yeah.
God,
yeah.
I hope so. I don't want them fighting again.
When they first met, that's the first thing Kelly said to her.
Uh-huh.
She saw her
phone
cover. And
okay.
It was
so
USC.
Maybe it's more playful than shady. So we'll write that off as a playful interaction.
But that's still clever girl, Kelly Dodd. That's hilarious.
And one thing to note, too, is that Shannon, I think she had mentioned to you guys that she was thinking of changing her Instagram handle, and she changed it.
What is it?
Shannon Storms?
Shannon Storms Bedore. So now she is all up to date.
Wow.
But she's so not excited. Losing Bedore, right? I mean, that's what she told us before.
Well, it's still Shannon Storms Bedore.
Okay.
She'll always be.
Shannon Bedore. Sounds really good together.
Shannon Storms Bedore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Sticking in the OC, the next update I have is Gina's newest addition to her family, which is an adorable little German Shepherd named Hilda.
Oh.
And the big deal about this is that we finally see her now ex-husband, and he's quite adorable.
Oh, he is cut you.
Let me see. Okay, so I have a picture here. Do you have a picture up? I mean, it's a cute family photo. It's so interesting with, you know, it all coming out on the show now about the divorce. I mean, we've known for a while on .com, but it's really, I mean, it's nice to see that she's posting like a picture with the family, that they're all still, you know, having a good relationship for the kids. And I think she mentions in the comments too that she's not taking on this dog. The dog will stay with her ex, with Matt. Yes, because I think she's got her hands a little full with the
now
kids.
Is he staying in LA? Sorry.
Oh, I think. But now that you've seen a photo of him, aren't you even more confused by the divorce news?
Well, you know what it made me think of? Juan and Robin Dixon.
Because
if they're still having sex, which, like, I don't know now, but what she was saying on the show.
Yeah.
You know, like, maybe they're just going to have this weird strain, but, like, still together.
Yeah, maybe in 5 years they'll be back together.
Right. I mean, like, because people do grow apart, and that's, like, a perfectly valid reason, but.
And he was in L.A. for 5 of the 7 days a week.
Right. But look at that face.
But as Tamara says, you don't divorce over a job. He could have quit. All right. What else?
Well, I think you might have an update for us, Megan.
Oh, I do. Sonia Morgan followed me on Instagram.
Wow.
I'm so jealous.
Iconic.
That's and you know iconic. What's... What to me was the most flattering part? It's right as her paper mag photos were coming out. So it's like as she's getting all this social love, she was like, you know what? I want to follow Megan Segura.
I think she definitely, she felt it was time.
Yeah.
It was time. Well, you might be getting followed, but I'm getting unfollowed.
What?
So
not by Sonia.
Not by Sonia. She does not follow me, unfortunately. Sonia, at Eric J. Mack, if you're listening. No, unfollowed me.
What'd you do to
I'm not sure what I did. I don't know if I was posting too much Ariana Grande content or something. Like, there was something that must have triggered. I mean, also, you know, people follow and unfollow, but right. He and I had spoken,
we
had a connection. He hung out by my desk that day when he was here shooting. So I don't know what happened, you know. I don't know. There is a mystery here. I think maybe somebody else is running his account, you know what I'm saying?
Oh. We have to find out who that person is to find out why they don't like you.
For real.
Yeah.
I'm going to slide into those DMs. All right, that's all I got, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Make sure to tag Eric J. Mack in any of the stories you want him to see.
I gotta see.
So I got to talk to Gina Kirschenheider.
I am just so impressed right now. The
How
whole episode.
Saying it?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. You do it better with your German accent.
Please, no.
Gina Kirschenheider.
Yeah. And she did it. Okay. I don't know for sure if it's a German last name. But
Kirschenreiter,
right, yeah. Seems German. Anyway, she's great. You know, she's sort of an untouched newbie in the housewives world. So just so nice and sweet.
Like a virgin
and
touch for the
yeah. first time. And really, I don't know, just open about her life. So I'm excited for you guys to hear this interview.
Did you, by the end of it, start talking with a Long Island accent?
It's possible.
I can't wait to hear.
Hey everyone, we are here with the newest Real Housewife of Orange County, Gina Kirschenreiter.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great.
It's so exciting to have new blood in the OC.
Yes, East Coast blood pumping in the OC too.
I mean, definitely. So yeah. Like right now you're in New York, so mm-hmm. this is home.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's like it's home, and that's how it feels. That's how it always feels. I think it's going to be interesting to see over the years how and if that changes for me.
Right.
Raising my kids and assimilating in California throughout the years. But for now, I definitely have that like I'm home feeling.
What do your friends and family think about seeing you every week on TV?
I mean, my friends and family are the most amazing people in the world. They're so, so super supportive. So excited. My girlfriends from home are like, you've made my whole life goals come true. Like, they're just like, right. like so supportive. So, you know, my girlfriends made all these tank tops, like Team Gina tank tops. They all have like parties every week. It's really nice. It's actually just sad for me because I want to be at the party. Yes. You know, so but it's rad that I have such a good like team, a good squad, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think everyone wants to know what's the process of getting on this show? Like mm-hmm. who recommended you? How did yeah. it all happen?
It was really random. Honestly, my friend Tatiana was a friend of Tamara's. And basically, I met Tamara at one of her parties she was having, and we hit it off, and I guess they got my name and they called me up, and it just I truly feel like it was like one day I was driving my minivan and the next day I was on Real Housewives of Orange County.
So crazy.
Kind of crazy. Yeah.
Did you watch the show beforehand?
Yes, I did watch the show. Of course I watched the show. I mean, I was excited when I met Tamara for the first time. You know what I mean? Like that was cool. Yeah. So I watched it like moms watch it though. So like back in the day, I think I would probably say I was more faithful to the show. But now it's like I'm so busy. So I just won't watch it at all, and then I'll sit down and it'll be on. I'll watch like seven in a row, you know.
Ooh.
So that's the kind of, you know, like moms just don't have time for that. So I just kind of watched it when I could.
Right. What went into the decision of joining? Because I feel like that's not an easy decision.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like if they ask you to be on the show, you're not saying no. Like,
really?
You know what I mean? I went through the process of it very organically. Every time I would show up, they would be like, just be yourself. And then I just totally was myself. And they were just like, we love you. We want you to come back now for the next phase or whatever. And I was shocked every time I would go through. And every time it would happen, I'd be like, no, there's no way I'm going to actually be on the show. You know, so then when they ask you, it blows your mind. But I mean, who says no? Like, who says no, honestly? But it was scary. It was very scary. It was hard. And then also, obviously, my husband was, you know, we were doing it together, and then he couldn't film because of his job.
Oh.
And so that's really what it was. And I think everybody thinks it has to do with our relationship, but it really doesn't.
That's interesting. Cause I assumed the same thing.
No. Yeah. So they just kind of were like, no, you can't do that, and shut it down. And obviously that's his job. He's not going to, you know, go against it. So, and then, you know, they just said, you know what, you're enough.
Right.
He said, yeah, I am enough.
Yes, you absolutely are. You are a unique situation. And that mm-hmm. before fans even met you on the show, we did know that you had separated from your husband.
Right.
So did you know that was happening going into the show? And did that make you at all like, well, I don't know if I want to show all of this?
Yeah, I mean, well, I for sure knew that we were having relationship problems. Yeah. You know, marriage is hard, and I knew we were in a down. We had been in a down for a while, but I think that it's just interesting and maybe almost a little bit kismet the way everything lines up, because when I started the whole process of, you know, the show, at the same time, that really was when Matt started at the new location for work.
Right.
So it was relatively very new. And also simultaneously, I was coming out of this huge baby phase that I was stuck in with the kids.
Right.
And so it was kind of just really good timing. And it didn't really have anything so much to do with the show as it did with him moving away mm-hmm. and me being able to say, now I have a little bit of time to even think about my relationship. What does that look like? And I'm okay on my own without him. And honestly, when you're a mom and you have that many kids, for a while, you don't really even think about your relationship. You don't care because you just need help.
Right.
You know? And then once you come out of that, you sort of reevaluate. You're able to reevaluate things a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a mutual decision between Matt and I, so.
Well, I saw a preview for next episode mm-hmm. and I thought it was so nice. You said, I don't consider my marriage a failure. I just mm-hmm. think it's ending, yeah. you know? And I think that that's such a great way to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that anyone should have to look at a relationship that's coming to an end as a failure. I mean, I have three kids. What does right. that mean then? That my kids are a failure, a mistake, or a regret? Never, you know what I mean? I'm very happy with the relationship that I had with my husband. I'm thankful for it. I'm proud of it. And I love my children dearly. And I just choose to keep the good memories of all the good years. And now that we are separating, we don't even have to think about the bad times. Right. I'd just rather keep it moving, yeah. you know?
Is part of you at all excited for the dating part?
No. I'm actually, that's horrifying to me. I'm actually not, no. Like, makes me sweat. Like, literally sweat. I'm, like, afraid of boys. I'm not a... I drive a minivan. I'm not like a dateable. I don't know. It makes me like so uncomfortable. But I mean, I'll give you this. It's exciting to think about that.
Right.
But I am not in anywhere there. I'm really focused right now on my relationship with Matt.
Yeah.
Honestly. And
that's true.
I think that's really important right now. And I have to focus on that and I have to make that priority because we clearly like weren't. We messed up marriage somewhere, you know what I mean? So I'm like, we have to be better at divorce. Right. And that's our focus. And that is a process. And it takes time. And the communication wasn't always there in our marriage. So we want to be better communicators. And we have to be better communicators now. And especially because we're not together all the time. It's hard, you know? So we really trying to figure that out. We're taking baby steps. Like, you'll see throughout this whole season, like, we baby step our way away from each other. And that's what we're comfortable doing because we're so comfortable with each other, it's hard to break away. Mm-hmm. But we know that there was no connection in that way anymore.
Yeah. What do the kids think about having cameras around?
Honestly, they did so good with it. Like, everybody would say, like, too, it's like they don't flinch. Like, even like my mother-in-law, she's like, well, it's so funny how they just act like themselves.
Right.
So I don't know. They did get a little bit over it at times. It's hard for them to be in situations where normally it's just about them and mommy or them and a play date or them and anything. And then this new dynamic of mommy has friends that are maybe older or don't have children or entertainment when they come over. It was hard situations for them to sit through.
Right.
And they didn't always do it gracefully.
Like,
you know?
When Vicky came for dinner.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But I can't pretend like my kids are perfect or like that's okay. So when that happens, I have no choice but to, I mean, I gotta throw his ass in his room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that was bad.
I loved how supportive Vicky was,
I
though.
I did, too. Actually,
she was so cool in that moment.
We had
like,
a
doing
major
a good job.
Bonding moment.
Like, yeah.
And that was so real and organic and coming from her. She really is, the mom vibe is strong with her. And she's very maternal. And she does have, like, a good heart for me in that sense. And she was, like, super supportive. Like, she's like, you did a good job. And hearing that from a veteran mom, because you don't always know when you're doing this stuff, too. Like, I feel like that's what I should have done, but I don't really know, you know? So having her support and having me backing me, that was like really made me really like love her at that moment. I'm like, thank you. I needed that. Because my kid just hit me in the head. You know?
Well, aside from Emily, who mm-hmm. do you feel like was the most welcoming in this mm-hmm. group to you? And who was maybe a little harder to crack?
Yeah. So, okay. So I think that obviously Emily and I had an immediate bond. She's my girl. Love her. And we had the newbie thing and we had like our like whatever stupid stuff, but we worked it out. Tamara from the beginning has always been supportive of me and cool to me. Mm-hmm. But honestly, as the season evolved and even more so like the very end of the season and the this time off, we've gotten like super close.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And like, she's really supportive of me. She goes out of her way to like, even like I'm here and she knows I'm nervous and she like tries to like, you know, she's like, just be yourself and you're going to do great. And then she's like trying to help me with getting my hair and makeup people for Andy Cohen show. You know what I mean? And she's just going out of her way to help me. And I feel like it's like one of those sorority things where it's like the big sister, little sister. And then Kelly has always been, we've always been like instantly connected because we're just two goobers. I feel like we're, you know,
right.
And we have fun together.
Yes.
So she still texts me. She calls me up to laugh. Vicky was a tough egg to crack because she didn't like me at first.
Right.
But I definitely think we have our own bond. Vicky's maybe not somebody that I'm going to pick up the phone with and be like, let's go to the bar together.
Right.
But we respect each other. And I do look to her for like advice, things like that sometimes. So that's cool.
Shannon?
I have zero relationship with Shannon. The last attempt I had with Shannon to connect with her, because I, you know, I'm like, let me still try. I called her. I texted her. I asked her to go to lunch. We made a date. I texted her the night before to confirm. She texted me an hour before we were supposed to be there to tell me she couldn't make it. And I had a babysitter, so I paid for a babysitter. And then that evening, she went to dinner to the Quiet Woman with Kelly Dodd and put it all over social media.
What do you think is happening there?
I don't care what's happening there.
Yeah.
I don't.
You're done.
I don't care at all.
Okay. I want to talk about Tamara's party.
Okay. Oh, the red party.
Yes. Oh, my God. What was your POV when shit went down? Because, I mean, suddenly you're just standing there and Kelly's screaming and you see shit. Like, so tell me from your bird's eye, because maybe you saw the whole thing happen. I don't know.
No. Okay, so the thing is, I was like in the house, like crying about me. You know what I mean? And then I had just come out from that and I was at the bar and I was just like, finally, let me just get a drink. You know what I mean? Because it was a hard day for me. I had a really hard day with Matt that day. And they just started going. And I just remember like hearing them yell. And I remember hearing everything Kelly was obviously saying about Shane. And I did not understand what the situation was at all. But it blew up, and it blew up big, and it blew up fast, you know? So, I mean, it is what it is, you know? I did my best to get them away from each other. I really thought they were going to hit each other, though. So that's why I was scared.
Yeah.
I really thought someone's going to jail tonight.
Did you relate to Emily's reaction, or did you feel like she blew it out of proportion?
I mean, she definitely, I think it was hard for Emily because I think it wasn't just about this one incident. Had it just have been this one thing, I feel like maybe she would have been able to control herself and let it go. And she's a really reactionary person. Like, you see that too, like our fight too. Like, she took a shot at me for no reason. I was trying to be her friend.
Right.
So now here's Kelly saying awful things. I mean, so I understand where you're going to get that kind of reaction. But it had just been so much at that point about Shane that I think she just kind of, it was like she just exploded, you know? But also, I mean, he's not doing her any favors.
Yeah, because that's what also I wanted your thoughts that, you know, now
I tell her that.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I love her and I don't dislike Shane at all,
right.
You know, and I do have a relationship with him, but he is who he is and it's not helpful to her.
I know.
In this circle.
Even when you're like, it's Shane.
I tried.
The look on his face.
Well, I was nervous to meet him. I was a little anxious about it. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do what I always do. I'll just make a joke. And I'll make it funny. And that way I'll break the ice and he'll be able to like let his guard down. Because I was like, maybe he's nervous too, you know?
Yeah.
And then when he immediately like snubbed me, I was like, okay, message received. You're not into it. And I just ignored him the rest of the night. It was fine. And then, you know what? We outside of, you know, we independently had, like, I went over to her house for dinner one day and I baby stepped it. And we're fine. And I think that sometimes just because you have a big, loud personality and you have a way of laughing through things, other people don't. And it is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
I could work with it. I could work around it.
Right. You don't have to love your...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not married to him.
Right.
So it's fine. And Emily loves her husband. So, you know, I mean, she loves her husband to the point where Emily defends her husband all the time, even when he's clearly wrong. So she's a good wife, you know?
Right.
And she loves him. So it is what it is. And I love Emily. So, like, I will work... As long as he's not blatantly disrespectful to me, which you see if he is and was, like, I will stick up for myself and say that's not cool. But as long as he's not like that, I'm fine.
Mm. So I kind of want to get into the perks of being a housewife.
It's great. It's so great. It's so great. Like you. Okay. So like, first of all, you get like so much free crap. Like that's rad. And you just like, I don't know. It's just fun. Everybody like, I don't know. They just care about you more. It's weird. It's
when
like,
when does it start happening? Because I mean, there were rumors that you were joining the cast, I think, before you mm-hmm. did. So is it like the day it premieres, suddenly you're getting stuff in the mail?
No, it's like more, it happens very gradually. So you have like that. And then you have obviously like a lot of people who want to send you stuff, and that's cool. It is cool. And it's cool for like your friends.
Yeah.
And like you could get like into a, you know, restaurant easier. And I'm like really bad about making reservations and stuff. So like it's helpful for me.
Right.
It's very helpful. I'm like, please, because I was supposed to make this reservation 3 days ago. Please. No, but you don't, you know, like I'm not that person, but it's cool, you know. You get to meet other, I get to meet Andy Cohen. Yes. Like that's amazing. Like that's a huge perk. And I don't know, it's just fun when people are receptive to you. It's fun when you put your life out there. It's risky and it's scary. And when people come up to you and they say, you know, I love you, or, you know, you made my day, or, you know, what's really nice when you like make somebody's day.
Yeah.
Cause you just like took a picture with them.
Yeah.
Like, that's so rad that like I can make somebody's day. I like that stuff. So I don't know. It's fun.
Have you experienced any of the downsides that might be associated?
I mean, people say stupid stuff on the internet all the time. Like, I don't read it. I'm really not a social media person. I don't care. I like to do my Instagram. I like to be funny and show the stuff I like to show. But I'm not looking for, I have like a phenomenal core family and friends squad around me. And those are the only people's opinion matters. And they know who I am and they know all my situations, good, bad, or ugly, whatever. And they still support me through my life and everything. So like, it's laughable. So that stuff doesn't bother me, but that's a problem that people feel like they can just crap all over anybody on the internet.
Totally.
That's a big problem, but it doesn't bother me. It just bothers me in the sense where it's a huge issue and I'm raising three children and I don't want my children to grow up having that done to them, or also thinking that that's okay, that people can, you know. And a lot of the response a lot of the time is, well, you put yourself out, that you signed up for this. And I'm like, actually, I signed up to be on a show where I share my life. I didn't sign up for somebody to crap all over me every day. You know what I mean? Like that's just not okay. Like you need to be accountable for yourself. It's not okay for somebody to be saying cruel things, whether it's in your face, on the computer, to Joe on the street, or to the reality star. You know what I mean? It's just not okay.
Right.
It's just personal integrity.
Yeah. Have you been watching any of the other Real Housewives?
I have to admit, I have obviously in the past, but now with this, I could barely like,
cause I wonder,
I'm so busy now.
Totally. Yeah. I just wondered if it makes you more or less invested in the other franchises, you know?
Cause
it's like now you know how the meat is made basically.
Yeah. But I have to say some things when the show comes out, I'm like, oh, like you, it's interesting to see like volumes and microphones and things like that. But what you see of me, it is a view into my life and it's a small view, but it's me.
Right.
So I have to believe that it's at least somewhat true, but then there's other people that I know who they are. And then I watch the show and I'm like, that's not you at all.
Oh,
that's not the way you behave at all.
Like who?
Like, you know what? I'm going to plead the fifth on that, but I think that it will, you know, everything comes out in the wash.
Right.
My high school soccer coach used to always say that. Everything comes out in the wash, and I think it will.
Well, without saying who it is, I just want to know, what is it, like, you think they put on a certain facade?
Yeah, I think there is. I think there's definitely some people who come on to the show and they're, you know, they're sharing their life and their story and they're authentically themselves for the better or worse. And there's some people who come on and it's an acting job, I guess, you know, and that's what it seems like to me. And I don't like that, because that's not fair. You know what I mean? If I have to be myself, it would be like me coming on and then pretending like I'm not from Long Island.
Right.
Like, how freaking bizarre, you know? So
why does she say coffee so weird?
Yeah, like exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So you're going to meet Andy Cohen tonight?
Yes. I'm going to be on Watch What Happens Live.
Who are you going to be on?
Dr. There? Oz.
Oh, that's exciting.
I'm excited. Yeah, I was actually supposed to be on originally with Tamra.
Are you already nervous about the reunion?
I'm not nervous at all about the reunion, actually. And I don't know if that's naive of me.
Yeah, I think you should be.
Yeah, I'm just not. You know, I feel like I know what happened on there. I was myself. I'm not perfect, but I tell the truth usually, even if it's not good, you know. And I make mistakes, but I say I'm sorry. And I don't understand what there's to be scared of. I'm scared of sitting next to Andy Cohen tonight. Like, that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and that's so fun and that's so worth it. And I don't know. I'm not scared.
Yeah.
So what? I got to sit, whatever. I mean, I made it through the whole season. It's just one day.
Right. That's true. It's just a long day.
Yeah. I am afraid because I heard it's very, very long.
Yes.
So I hope I have the endurance to make it through.
Well, last thing. I want to know what fans have to look forward to the rest of the season. What can you tell us?
Oh my God, it gets so crazy, actually. There's a lot of things I think that you wouldn't expect to happen, like friendships, different friendships forming and bonding and other people not bonding. There's a lot of funny stuff. There's a lot of fun, but there's some crazy stuff in there too. I don't know what I'm allowed to say.
You know what to say at all. I'm just kidding.
Like, Holly, don't get me fired. yeah. And honestly, like, as hard as it is for me to watch, you're going to see my journey with Matt and going through that. And even though you don't see Matt film, I think, like, you're going to understand more about us and our relationship, and a lot of stuff happens with that, and like our living situation is very unique, and we kind of take you through that journey. But to be completely honest, I've said this and I feel this way, my divorce is the least interesting thing about me. And I feel like I'll be happy when we are moving past it, because it really is like we're not letting each other's crap on fire, and we're not, you know, it's just not. And that's just, it's interesting, I guess, because it's not miserable for me, but I'm a lot of fun. I don't need to be talking about that all the time, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. And I honestly think it's nice that it's sort of being normalized. It doesn't always have to be this terrible thing.
Right. Well, because I have three kids and it is normal for them.
Yes.
And it's happy for them. And yes. I think that if somebody is in a happy marriage, you could be happy for them. If somebody's in a bad marriage, feel bad for them. But if I have a happy divorce, you could be happy for me.
Totally.
And if you have a bad divorce, I feel bad for you. You know, and I think that's okay. That's normal.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This has been
fun.
Getting
to
know you.
I know, it was fun.
I got to talk to Deandra Simmons, and it was emotional. She was like ready to talk.
So emotional, angry?
Yes.
Oh.
So I'll just let her speak for herself. Well, we are here with Deandra Simmons.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, thank you for coming back. Season, your second season.
Yes, Rachel, can you believe I made it through the season? The first premiere season for me. I can't believe I'm back.
Oh my God, I'm so happy you're back. I know everybody is. What is it like going into your second season versus your first?
I think going into the second season, really, the thing that is a little tricky is you don't know schedules, for instance, and how much time it's going to take out of your life. And you don't know all of the ladies very well the first season. I knew three cast members, but we weren't best friends. A few of us were. And I've gotten to know all the ladies over the period of a year. And when you form those relationships and get to know people, it's obviously going to be different second season than first season. So for me, I'm the same person I was last year. I'm just the same person that knows people a lot better. And I also know what is expected of me. The first season, I really didn't know how this process worked or what was expected. Or I just showed up and was who I am, which is great. This is a reality show, and that's what you should do. And I'm still that same person, but I know a lot more. How about that?
I love it. What is it like around Dallas now? Simmons is obviously like a name that I think people knew, but like, do you get recognized more? Like, what is the vibe there?
I do. In fact, Rachel, we're getting ready to have the Texas State Fair, and that starts in September. And in fact, in a week, I'm judging the food. So I get to be a celebrity judge this year. And you know, as we've talked, I love to eat. So I'm so excited. I get to eat everything fried that's up for judging this year. it's, you know, like the honor of my lifetime. It's like equivalent to winning an Academy Award to judge food to State Fair. But when I go there, I mean, I get recognized so much. I mean, little kids are crying and holding on to me. And I'm saying to their mothers, why are they watching The Real Housewives? They're 5, 4, 3 years old. It's kind of scary. You know, they may grow up being a little sassy. I want to take them off that and put them on, you know, a cartoon or Mickey Mouse or something. I don't know.
It's good training.
Although that's changed nowadays anyway, too. So,
so I wanted to get into a conversation about your mom. Did you and her watch last season together? Did she watch last season at all?
So it's funny. We watched, obviously, the premiere, and then we didn't really watch all the shows together. But at the very end, when it was kind of going south between us and we were having some issues, actually not between us, when at the very end, when I was kind of getting a little more bold and thinking, okay, I mean, I do cuss, so I'm just going to be who I am. This is the show. And I was trying to hold back on things like that because I didn't want to embarrass her. So I told her, do not watch the last 3 episodes because I say a lot of curse words. And she was like, you were not raised that way. I cannot believe you embarrassed your family by saying those words. I said, Mom, it's a lot worse than that. Trust me. Especially when I did the little robot thing, peace out, MFs. You know, I thought, oh, God, please. After I said it, I thought, ooh, diarrhea of the mouth, I'm getting in trouble. And I did.
Did that change how you approached this season at all? Or, like, you even more open now?
Gosh, Rachel, this season I just let loose. I mean, I kind of already was on the precipice. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to go full potty mouth because sometimes that's the way I am. It's not that way in everyday life. But when I get upset, I get upset. And that is being who you really are and being transparent about everything in your life and the mistakes that you make. And those are mistakes I wish I could correct my potty mouth. I always say, well, you know, Jesus has grace for even my potty mouth. He forgives and loves my potty mouth just as much as everything else. So I just have to work on it. I may not get a seat on the second row of the Baptist church anymore, especially not this season. So I know that I'm going to be moved up to the balcony.
Going back to your mom, I think I was shocked watching the first episode, hearing that she had taken the keys away.
Mm-hmm.
Can you walk us through what happened between the end of season 1 and season 2? I mean, end of season 2 and season 3.
She had, in the moment, remorse. She gave me the keys and then said, okay, I'm going to walk away. And then the next thing that happened, which nobody really knows, she gave me a contract for the ownership of the company, but there were certain things in there that I didn't think I should have to be responsible for, a salary for her, these different things on the credit card. There were different things I just felt like, it's going to be my company. Why should I keep paying these things? And my mother, face it, does not need the money at all. It was just, I started this company. I should still be paid as an executive of this company, whether I'm here or not. And I wanted to, as you know, I struggled with wanting to rebrand and having the finances to do that because my mother for so long did business a certain way. In the last 3-4 years, that hasn't really worked for us, but she hasn't been willing to do anything new. So when she decided to take the keys back, I was in a situation. This year has been horrible. I mean, it was horrible for me from January to basically May because we were fighting constantly. When the show started, when we started the taping, literally, I hadn't talked to her for 2 months, and it was horrible. And I thought, I said to my husband, what am I going to do? I can't go on camera and say bad things about my mother because we're not talking. And I just was so anxious. I shared my heart, shared how I was feeling. Of course, she's seen episode 1 and is not happy with me. So she was furious after the first episode. But then some of her friends kind of calmed her down and said, look, this is the way the show goes. And by the 6th episode, you'll be the mother of the year. So don't worry about it. That's what I told her. I said, don't worry. You'll get to be the mother of the year. It's just not going to be right now. Okay? Because this is really what happened. And I don't even know that she realized that we were not talking for so long. We played the silent treatment. I mean, at the office, it was so awkward. Or that she had not really given the key. She goes, well, it's just this key in the drawer, and I just decided to hand it to you. I'm like, but everybody thought you were giving me the key to the company. So this season, that was really hard. And because of that, one of my fellow castmates took this poor storyline and flew with it for several episodes. What that was about, and that really hurt me more than anything, that really destroyed my friendship with Leanne. And I just couldn't believe that anyone would do that to me, especially somebody that has talked to me throughout their entire life or of our friendship about how throughout their life they never had money, and it's very uncomfortable for her because she feels a bunch of insecurities around that. And then to say that I was poor all of a sudden because we went on this trip to Beaver Creek and we went on a shopping spree, and I'm a decadent shopper. I mean, I love to spend, and I, you know, buy whatever I want.
It's you always, have a gown room.
It's always been like that. So I knew that I had to pull back. And for me, pulling back means don't have it even there in the bank account or on the credit cards because I will spend it. So I was putting money away because I didn't know what my mother was going to do. And I said to her when I got back from this little shopping trip I had with Brandy, I said, oh, my God, I'm so upset. I said, you know, I literally have $200 in my bank account. And literally meaning because my mother goes, well, what about your other six bank accounts? I said, well, I wasn't even thinking a friend of mine would betray me like that. It was just because, and I didn't even explain it to her that I had moved money around because why would I have to? And then it went to Carrie. And then I said, why would you share with your arch enemy, you know, my personal financial situation that was actually, I made that situation because I really didn't have to do it. I was just being proactive. That really broke my heart this season.
Yeah, I was going to ask because that is something that I know I was shocked about in the Super T, seeing you and Leanne go at it. Is that the root of what's going on there?
That's basically what happened. I kind of had that when she turned on me with my financial situation, which, you know, it's something I'm happy to share it. Yes, I was thinking about the future and thinking if I have to start a company on my own, because my mother said you leave with nothing, not even the profits you've earned in your company. You have to start from ground zero. And I had put $450,000 of my own money in my business. So I was just going to have to leave that in Ultimate Living and walk away. That's a lot to have to start over, not have a salary, not have a car. And so she exploited that, and that hurt my feelings. And so when that hurt my feelings, I said, okay, I'll talk about what I'm going through with my mother and, you know, financially where we may be in a year from now. I'm never going to lose my house. I mean, never going to lose my house, never going to lose the basic necessities of life. It's just not going to happen because my father provided for that. But just the fact that I had to go through that publicly and was humiliating and shameful, and then I felt that Leanne wasn't willing to share what was really happening in her life, it hurt my feelings. And then I pushed her. I said, okay, you're going to make me share. It's time for you to share. That's where our relationship fractured, and I don't know that it can be repaired. The main thing with me is I understand going there for the show. I have no problem with that, and telling what's happening. What I expect of the people that I'm on this experience and this journey with is for them to do the same thing, because you can't get a fabulous, real show if you're not being real about, I mean, it's not fiction, it's fact. So what's really happening? And share. If I'm going to share, I'm willing to put it all out there. Warts, hairs, all of that is all going to be out there. But, you know, do the same thing. Be fair and everybody do the same thing. This season has been hell for me. I mean, and I don't want people to perceive me in a way that's not true. Those are the struggles I've had this year, the real struggles and the things that have kept me up at night and given me tears and given me pause and given me, you always have remorse. Oh my God, should I have done this? That all this stuff is out there now that, you know, people are going to, you know, they're going to decide. The court of public opinion. What do they think? That's hard.
What would be one thing then you would want people to know about this season?
What I want people to know about this season is that I haven't changed, and I will never change. I'm going to stay true to my values, be true to who I am, and I will share anything I need to share to complete this process because I think it's important and I did it for a reason. Give me the credit that I deserve for being truthful and being honest and always taking it. I mean, when somebody says something to me and I could have been blown over, Carrie asked me about my Bentley. I could have been blown over with a feather. I'm thinking, oh my God. Okay. Yeah. I had to get rid of my car. Okay. Let's own it. Let's do that too. Let's go there. I'm going there with all of it. But, you know, this too shall pass, as we always say. And I think at the end of the year, people are going to see, oh, Deandra's the same person, the same honest, straightforward person she's always been. She hasn't changed. She just has conflict with someone else. And unfortunately, it's just, this is my year. What is it, second season curse, I guess?
Yeah.
I have a second season curse.
Yeah.
But next year I get to, you know, be on the beach with a drink and a little umbrella.
Yeah. So a third season's a charm. That's
next
what
year's
it is.
My 50th birthday, so I can celebrate, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, happy birthday, early birthday. Thank you so much, Deandra, for being so open. And that was great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I also got to talk to Stephanie Holman, though I didn't get to look at her beautiful unicorn face because she was in LA, in our LA offices. So we did a over the phone interview.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if it sounds a little funny, not my jokes, I mean, like in your ears, that's why. So welcome, Stephanie Holman, to the Daily Dish podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay. Yeah. So season three. Can you believe it?
No, I can't. It's the good thing is it gets easier, I feel like, every year. You kind of know what to expect. So I'm excited for this year. Usually I'm very nervous.
Oh, so you say that it gets easier?
You know, I feel like for me every year, I feel like you kind of know what to expect, and you have some difficult times and you know it's not the end of the world when those happen. So mm-hmm. Mentally, it gets easier and easier.
Are you not as nervous because you're not in the middle of all the drama this year?
You know, I feel like last year was really hard starting off. So in my mind, nothing can be worse than that. Like, Brandy and I are good. But whenever you're fighting with one of your, like your best friend and your sister, that was really stressful. So yes, that's a big part of it.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about you and Brandy. So you're back to being thick as thieves.
Yes, we are so good. I just got back from her 40th birthday party. Oh my goodness, about 2 weeks ago. It was so much fun.
Oh, fun. So you guys are good. Are Carrie and Brandy good? Because it seemed like it was kind of maybe not at the end of the reunion.
They're great. I feel like it was kind of a long road to healing, but they're doing really well too. I feel like they talk and they're finally back on track, which is so nice.
And we heard that Carrie went back to work.
She did. They have this incredible laser center, and she is over that, and that's kind of her baby, which I feel like is really healthy because it's kind of her own thing. Her and Mark still work in the same building, in the same office, but they kind of have their own thing now where she helps him some, but her main focus is a laser center, which I feel like is really good for her.
We saw a sneak peek of you going to that laser center.
Yes, yes. She has this. It's called FemTouch, and it's supposed to help ladies that have multiple children. And I will say I've done two sessions, and it's worked really, really well.
Oh, wow. Fan.
Yes.
Okay, rave reviews.
No, very rave reviews. It makes a big difference. It's okay. Strangely makes a difference.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about being on the show in general. Like, I know we've talked to other talent and they'll be like, oh, people come up to me and they always say this to me. Do you get that from anybody? Like, what's the one thing people always say?
Oh, my goodness. The biggest thing, a lot of times people will come up and ask, is it staged or scripted? That's like the number one question. And then a lot of times people come up and it's like Brandy and I are kind of a package deal to them. So they're always like, I love you and Brandy, and ask about her and where she is. And I feel like people think that we live together and we're together all the time. So those two things, like they always, I feel like, is it scripted? Which of course, no. And then they immediately want to know where Brandy is.
That's like, why isn't Brandy with you? Where is
exactly.
She? Is she in the bathroom?
We're married or something to them, I think. It's very funny.
What do the people of Dallas think of the show?
You kind of get, the one thing I can say, I've never had anybody in person who's ever been really nasty or negative to me, like in Dallas or anywhere else, which is nice. I mean, you definitely see things online where people either love you or they wish you would not do the show. I don't know. I feel like that's probably that way, the same in every city, but you definitely have people that love the show and think it's fun and great. And then you have people that are like, oh no, you're giving us a bad name. So it's a little bit of both, but I mean, it's entertainment. So I'm hoping people kind of look at it as that.
Yeah. And those people are wrong. Obviously.
Yes. No, absolutely. It's fun. And I feel like, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of fun to have it in the city, and I don't know. I feel like it's something you should just embrace, and we're representing ourselves, not Dallas as a whole. So that's kind of the way I feel like I would look at it.
Right. I want to get in, okay, to this season.
Okay.
What is life like in the new house? You've moved in.
Yes, it was about a year of a lot of work and a lot of renovations, but the house is incredible. The pool's filled. We've added a few rooms. We built like a garage apartment for my husband. He collects cars, so he was keeping all of his cars at his office. So it's kind of nice for him. And yeah, it's amazing. I love living there. The children love it. They kind of become those little kids that live in the city and they take their scooters everywhere. And it's a lot of walking and hopping around. And it's really convenient for my boys and I, not for Travis, because his office was so close to our old house. But for the kids and I, it's closer to their schools. It's closer to their friends, their activities. So it's been a really nice change.
Now, I remember he kind of bought it without you totally knowing. Have you bought anything to get back at him?
Well, like on a weekly basis, I buy a lot of clothes without Travis knowing.
I love it.
Yes, that happens a lot. And then I hide boxes. I'm a box hoarder. I hide them, and then I slowly bring things out of my closet.
Or do you just like say like, no, this old thing? No, this isn't new.
I've done that before. And then he's like, why is the tag still on it stuff? And then I'm busted. But yeah, all the time.
I love that. Tricks of the trade.
Yes, absolutely.
Heidi Dillon, is she still your next door neighbor?
She is. She lives across the street, kind of a little diagonal to me. And I've not bothered her too much. I figured Brandy and I would be pranking her often, but we unfortunately have not done that. But I feel like we need to get on that and make her feel special.
Yes, that's what a prank does, is make somebody feel special.
Yes, I have not forgotten about you. I'm still across the street. Yes.
You and Leanne are friends now?
Yes, believe it or not. It's very crazy, but yeah, we are getting along. She was really kind to me this year, and I feel like we kind of saw each other in a new light and for the first time ever got to know each other, which was nice. And it made a difference. I feel like before, whenever it was a group activity, I was always really dreading going because I felt like there was drama and it was awkward because we never talked to each other. So now it made this year so much better because I felt like she was a friend to me. And even though there were times where she did struggle and kind of stumble back to things that she had done in the past, I do feel like she really worked on herself. I feel like she really tried to make an effort for herself to be happier and to be calmer. And I'm rooting for her to continue that work because I feel like it's really important.
And how can you tell that she really has changed?
You know, what I will say is she had a very different approach with me, and I can only speak for myself. But I will say with me, I enjoyed her. She was much softer. She really made an effort to get to know me. And she kind of went out of her comfort zone and had a softer approach because I feel like before we were so different and our personalities were so different. I feel like we just never were in sync. But for me, I just feel like she really, really, really tried to be in a good headspace. And I would like to be the kind of person that notices that, and I just want to support her for change because I feel like it's important to be happy and content in life. And were there times whenever she, kind of went in the opposite direction? Absolutely. But I'm hoping that she'll continue working on herself, and I'm hoping she finds happiness and peace, and that's, I feel like, what everybody wants in life.
Totally. Is it weird for you to be close with her and your bestie Brandy at the same time? Because I take it that they're not exactly best friends.
Yes. It was. The one thing I can say, especially for Brandy, because I feel like it's easy for somebody who's your best friend to not want you to be friends with somebody who they're not getting along with. And the one thing I can say for Brandy, which I appreciated, is that she never made me feel like I had to choose. She was very open and accepting of myself exploring a relationship with Leanne, which I appreciated. So I never felt guilty. Sometimes I felt torn because it was hard to not have an opinion because I'm used to always being very, opinionated, especially, and very protective of anything that happens with Brandy and Carrie, especially. But I tried to go in and really create a friendship that was mine and mine alone with Leanne and give her a chance and have her give me a chance where it's not about what was happening with other people, but about us, which I feel like makes a big difference.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like very impressed by Brandy because I know personally in my own relationships, I get very jealous of like my best friend finding a new friend. And I'm like, but who is this person? I don't know. I don't know about this. So
no, it was, I mean, I can say I was, even looking back, I'm blown away how amazing she was. She was not like that at all. She was very supportive, and it made a difference. It gave me the chance to get to know Leanne without feeling the guilt of upsetting another friend.
You mentioned you want Leanne to find happiness. I think the big question of the season is she going to marry Rich?
You know, I mean, there was a point where she wasn't talking about it a lot, and some people were concerned. But they've been together for so long, I can't imagine them not eventually getting married. I don't know. I'm trying to support her and her happiness, and I do think he's an amazing guy. But I don't know for sure if what their wedding date is or if it's set. But I'm hoping it is, because I do feel like that's something she's always wanted. Leanne's kind of that person that you never wonder what's going on in her life, because she's very open and talks about any and everything that's going on, to especially her close friends. For me, it was a little different because I didn't have a friendship with her before, so I didn't really feel like it was my place to ask those questions because it was still very new. But I know that there are some, you know, I know that some of the other people were, you know, especially Deandra, like, were a little concerned that she wasn't talking about it and moving forward with the plans and being open about everything.
Well, speaking of Deandra, we see that crazy moment between her and Leanne at the end of the Super Tease.
Yes.
What is going on with them?
You know, I mean, it was really sad to watch, and I feel like a little bit of it was because it kind of reminded me of the things that I went through with Brandy. It kind of reminded me of, you know, somebody that you're close to, and I don't know, and whenever you have issues and problems, it's sad and it's hard. And my whole thing is I just did not want them to go to the point of no return where they're not going to be friends again, because it's hard to find good people in your life. And when you have those good people, you have to nurture those friendships. So my hope for them is that they can eventually find peace with each other, because they have been friends for a long time, and it's just sad whenever you see people lose something like that.
So as of now, going into the season, it sounds like they still haven't really patched things up.
No. Not that I'm aware of. At the last time that I checked, no, I feel like they're still struggling a little bit, which is sad.
Yeah, it's just so shocking because it's such a turnaround from last season.
It was really shocking, and at times, it was really sad to see, especially whenever we were all there, whenever they got into that altercation that you're talking about. On our trip, it was just like, I sat back and it was just really sad because I know that they are important to each other. And like I said, right, I feel like it's a little bit of bringing up hurt feelings, you know, that when Brandy and I weren't talking, it was the hardest thing that I've ever gone through. And I just don't want them to get to a point where they're missing out on important things like Leanne's wedding.
Right. So that was in Copenhagen?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Speaking of Copenhagen, how was that?
It was exhausting and amazing, and I mean, meeting Carrie's family was really cool. It was a really fun trip. I've never been, and I want to go back and actually take my kids because it's such a safe, amazing place. But there was so much drama. I cannot tell you how much drama there was. It's like every time you turn around, somebody's mad at somebody else. But it was entertaining.
It sounds like it's going to be some fun episodes to watch.
Oh yeah, there's not like, it was, even being there, you go to bed and you're like, I can't believe that just happened. It was very crazy. Very crazy. It's going to be wild. It'll be a really, really, really good cast trip.
So is that why Mark is there and no other husband? Because it was Carrie's family? Because that was like a big question. Like, is Mark the only husband? Okay.
Yeah, so he kind of ended up showing up and surprising Carrie towards the middle of the trip. But her family was there. He had never met her extended family. So he went and surprised her. It was really sweet. And by that time, we were all missing our families so much. I think we were all in tears of jealousy and of how sweet it was.
Yeah, because sometimes in like housewives world, like girls trips are like sacred, so having like one of the husbands show up is like such a thing, but it seems like it was okay.
It was good. I mean, I love Carrie, and it was such a great moment for her. I feel like if it wasn't, you know, her family, we would have all been really, you know, jealous, because it's a, you know, because you want to keep it with the girls. But it was such an amazing experience for her. I'm really glad that he was able to experience it, because I feel like it made it that much more special.
Now that we're talking about kind of like mysteries of the super tease that we're solving, can you explain Watch Me Flush It, Bitch?
I have no idea. I watched that. No! I still do. I haven't even asked Leanne about it, but I have zero idea what she's talking about or who she's talking about. Hopefully it's not me.
Right, because she says that she's the toilet of the group.
No, I mean, you know, I feel like maybe she thinks that about herself and everybody, but I hope she doesn't, because I feel like sometimes it's easy to think, like, to look at the people that you're not getting along with and the negativity, and I'm hoping she focuses on the good, because there are a lot of really good friends that she has within the group, and I don't know, I hope she starts thinking of herself and doing a little bit kinder self-talk, because it's sad to feel that way about yourself, you know, and right. Think that everyone's against you all the time.
Yeah, you're not a toilet, Leanne.
No, she's definitely not a toilet. So, but yeah, I have no idea. But yeah, I feel like, I think she does feel ganged up on a lot. I really do. And it's hard to not, you know, and again, I'd really try not to be so like, oh, what you did was wrong, whenever she did make, you know, mistakes, because I know that's how she feels ganged up on, but I feel like I tried to talk to her when I felt like it was appropriate and necessary, and then, you know, whenever I felt like it was something that wasn't huge and wasn't something I needed to get involved in, I tried to stay out of it, because I do feel like that's kind of what she meant by that, is she feels like people are always kind of getting onto her and having an opinion. So that's the only thing I could really think about that she would be saying that about.
You've been talking about, like, being really mindful this season, especially with Leanne, of your words and, like, not judging. Because I do feel like your feet were kind of held to the fire a little bit at the reunion last year for some of the comments you would make throughout the season. Did that affect you this year?
You know, I've always been a big proponent of self-help and therapy. And I went to a therapy retreat for 7 days, and it was probably the best thing I've ever done for myself. And it just makes you look at yourself, and I realized that a lot of the reasons that Leanne and I weren't friends, and a lot of the reasons I feel like we hurt each other, were things that really had nothing to do with each other. I just felt like we probably both never gave each other a chance, and I wanted to go in and just have an open mind, because I realized that a lot of the reasons I did not like her had nothing to do with my relationship with her, but a lot of her hurting my friends.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, whenever you get involved in other people's drama, they make up, and then you're still fighting with her because you guys are fighting over something that has nothing to do with you. So how can you make up whenever you don't even know what you're fighting about? So that was kind of my hope. And also, I was at a place where I just wanted peace, and I realized that holding a grudge or harboring ill will towards somebody was only really hurting myself and taking time away from my family and people that are important.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that lesson of, like, not fighting someone else's battles, because then when they make up, you're still fighting, is, like, yeah, a lesson that every housewife could learn.
Absolutely. You know, it kind of, you know, because, I mean, last year, her and Brandy were great. And then I was, like, you know, kind of on the outskirts for a while. And I just kind of, it kind of clicked with me that, like, I really should focus on myself and my friendships. And, you know, when people have differences, they can handle their problems. I don't have to jump in and be their savior. And I feel like in the past, I've always felt like to be a good friend was to be very loyal to a fault and to take on people's battles. And I'm really trying not to do that, but it's hard.
Definitely. I can only imagine. Everything is so emotional and charged, and it's your best friend. And
it is.
And then I heard that Travis is going to Harvard.
Yes. He just got back from his first year there. It's a 3-year program. For business, and he loved it. He lived on campus. I feel like we kind of share Lyft accounts, so I could always tell that he was having a very good time. He would go to have drinks with his friends.
So you stalked him through Lyft, is what you're saying?
Yeah, like I could kind of spy him. I'm like, I see you going from place to place. But no, I feel like it's really cool that he did that and that he's still, you know, working on his education. And I think it's really cool for the kids to see that no matter how successful you are or how old you are, you can still work on yourself and get educated. And I think it's just, it's really neat. And he's loving it. And he's made so many great friends.
Oh, that's so awesome. And he got to go because of some, I heard that there was, his family gave Harvard the land.
So his stepdad was a Dudley, and the Dudleys were, I think, like the first governor, and owned the land, gave it to Harvard. And in the bylaws, it says that anybody who is a family member can go to Harvard. So it's actually in the Harvard bylaws. So it's really cool. And Travis is actually the first person to go, but he was able to get in. Because of that, and hopefully because he's a smart enough guy. But no, he's,
right, of course.
He's doing it. Yeah, but he's doing a course that's just for like business owners. But yeah, it's really cool how that happens. But his family did give the land to Harvard, so it's a kind of a cool story on top of it.
Will your boys be going to Harvard now?
I hope so. You know, I mean, if it's the right school for them. The one thing I can say about Cruz struggling is it made me realize that, because I feel like a lot of people, especially in Dallas, they want their kids to go to a school that makes them look good, right? Mm. And a private school sometimes I feel like it becomes more about the parents and less about what's right for their child. And the one thing with Cruz is kind of taught me that I want my kids to go to a school that makes them feel good about themselves and they excel at. And that's, I think now I just want happy children. So yes, if they can get into Harvard and they can excel and they're not going to be stressed out all the time, then I would absolutely love that.
That's amazing. And I know fans and myself were just so inspired watching, you know, Cruz's journey and your guys' journey, and also Travis talking about his own struggles.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So good luck with everything, obviously. Do you have any regrets of this season or anything you're really not looking forward to reliving?
I mean, there are definitely times whenever you drink a little too much and you're like, oh gosh, I probably should have not done that. So those are kind of a little embarrassing. I'm trying to think if there's anything that not really. I may watch it and think differently, but I think that's the way life is. I feel like you kind of learn from the bad and then the good is just an added bonus. I don't know. I try not to look for perfection, or you'll always be just disappointed. So there's good, there's bad, and I'm trying to embrace both of them.
What is it like watching yourself drinking on camera? It must be so crazy.
Sometimes you have fun with it, and sometimes you want to hide your head in the sand for a few days. But for me, usually it's just my parents calling me after they watch it and being like, Stephanie. Both my mom and dad have never drank a day in their life. So they are just, like, I feel like they want me to go to church camp every episode they watch. I don't know. Yeah, they are a little mortified sometimes.
But it's Jesus, Jew's mom and dad.
I know. And like, you know, like, I feel like Jesus drank wine. So if it's fine, right? It's good. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Stephanie. This was so great.
Thank you.
I'm so excited about season 3.
I'm excited for you to watch, and I really appreciate your time.
All right, as always, we have to end this week with our Rose and Thorn, where we take a look at everything that happened this week on Bravo and sort of pick our fave, least fave, maybe moments that made us angry. Who knows? Right. It's our Rose and Thorn. It could be anything.
Right.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
All right, what's your Rose this week?
My rose was, first of all, that Flipping Out came back because it's like,
yes.
I love Flipping Out.
Yes.
Tried and true.
Yes.
Watching it forever. I love that they did a montage of all of the people that Jeff has fired through the years.
I feel like they probably do that every season. And now it just keeps getting longer and longer. Yeah.
Who, I think my favorite past employee was Andrew.
Oh, he was a good one.
Because
he's so weird.
So weird. And he like would always be easily scared by Jeff.
Yes.
Which made me really happy.
Jeff pranking is my favorite thing ever. My rose was also from Flipping Out. It's when Jeff said that his favorite time of day is the morning he spends alone with his daughter. And he's like, and I haven't told Gage this, but she's been kissing me on the cheek without me asking her to. And she doesn't do that to him. So he felt bad.
Aww. What was your thorn?
My thorn was on Shaws of Sunset.
just Mike's dating this new gal, Morgan, and I don't know, just the way he's not all in, and he kind of is openly like, yeah, I like her. Not enough to bring her home for dinner, but like, I like her. It's just in front of her, telling her that he's not there yet. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's maybe a little gun shy.
Yeah. Just was awkward.
Yeah, not great. My thorn was going to be Casey on Below Deck.
The reunion, because we didn't talk about it.
We didn't talk about it last week, because she, I just think, is like...
Doing too much.
Like, why are you inserting yourself in a situation that, like, really has nothing to do with you at the end of the day? Mm. Like, you're just making everything worse for no reason. You are just friends, why do you have to keep saying it? It just is like, she was just mad that she felt Joao was getting away with something.
Right.
But, like, too bad. If she wants to take him back, despite knowing all of this, she wants to take him back. Sorry, then's the apples.
Sounds like that is your thorn this week.
I know, I have a lot of feelings. But my other thorn was just I'm married to medicine. I felt like everyone was not supportive of Quad.
Right.
And, like, I feel like we're going to learn more about everyone's side of it, because I do feel like Simone just felt, like, really abandoned by her. But they have, I think it's interesting on that show, because they're really about, like, if I'm your friend, you tell me everything. And if you don't, then we're not really friends.
Right.
But I think Quad's allowed to, like, keep stuff close to the chest.
Especially when it comes to your marriage.
Right. And, like, I don't think they would have said that to Dr. Jackie and gotten mad at her the way that they did. But I think it's because they have all the history with Quad. It's, like, much more messy. So I just, it was just, like, sad.
Well, we want to know what your roses and thorns were this week. Tweet us at BravoTV using the hashtag BravoDailyDish. And you can always find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
You can find me on Instagram at SuspiciouslySmall and me on Twitter at RachieRob.
You can find me on Instagram at allday_Nikki.
Apparently some people are too cool for Twitter.
Don't do that.
Twitter is going to come after you. Bye.
And then I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss.